Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many of you know the name St. Augustine? Many of you have probably heard his name, but I wonder how many of you really know anything about him. St. Augustine lived at a very difficult time for the Western Christians. The Western Christians had, for the most part, made the mistake of associating the church and the kingdom of God with the earthly kingdom of Rome. They looked at the Roman Empire as the fulfillment of God's kingdom. And so in 410 AD, when Rome was sacked, and we really have the downfall of the Roman Empire, this tore them apart. What happened, they thought? Why didn't God protect us? And this is when St. Augustine wrote one of the things he's most famous for, The City of God, showing the Christians their mistake. That the kingdom and the church of God is never associated with anything about this earth. And every time we make that mistake and we give our allegiance to a nation or even a church body, even the CLC, even Faith Lutheran, we're going to be disappointed. And that's really the purpose of the parable before us this morning, that wherever there is man on this earth, there is sin. Wherever there is wheat, there is also weeds. And so we read from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, and then again verses 36 to 43. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to the master, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to be burned them, and then gather the wheat into my barn.' Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. And there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." So far our text. Jesus' parables often have things in them that are ridiculous by human standard. I think a lot of times we don't recognize this because we're so familiar and we're so used to the parable that we just kind of accept the story without really thinking through the implications. Some examples of this are, well, the lost sheep. That a man would leave 99 sheep in danger for the sake of one. That's ridiculous. And that parable, by the way, we're going to see again, that has a connection also with this one. Another example is the workers in the vineyard. He pays the people who worked for only an hour a full's day wage, the same amount that he pays everyone. Who does that? It's absurd. And often when we find these absurdities in Jesus' parables, it's exactly at that point that Jesus is trying to teach us a lesson. It's exactly that absurd thing in which Jesus is saying to us, look, the ways of God are not the ways of man. This is how you do things, but it's not how I do things. And so, not all parables are like this. Some are pretty straightforward, and then Jesus ties them in and teaches us a lesson anyway. But those parables where we do find these absurdities, that's where we have to stop and look and say, how are the ways of God different from the ways of man? There's more than one such absurdity in our parable today. For example, the servants go out and see weeds in the garden, in the field, and they're surprised. How many of you are surprised when you see weeds growing in the field? That's what weeds do. Of course, it's not surprising. It's ridiculous to be surprised by weeds. My mother always told us the story of when they were kids and they lived in Arizona. They lived in Phoenix. And their dad one time took them up into the mountains where there was snow. And their youngest brother, Rolly, jumps out of the car, runs out, snow, oh, and jumps into the snow, turns around. It's cold. Of course it's cold. It's snow. It's absurd to be surprised. It's so silly, and it's such a foolish reaction to be surprised by weeds. And that's exactly the point that Jesus is trying to make. Because even though we might not be surprised when we see weeds in our garden, this is how we usually react when we see weeds in the church or in the world. Something doesn't go our way. There's evil in the world. There's wickedness. And immediately we say, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? Or somebody offends us in the church and we get all in a huff. Oh, that church can't be a real church. Look at all the sin there. We're surprised that there are weeds and sin and evil in this world, even though the Lord tells us over and over again, man is sinful at his very core, at his very heart, and everything man does, everything he touches, everything about this world, therefore, is filled with sin. Now, we shouldn't be surprised because we know our own hearts, but we should still take it to the Lord in prayer. We should still go before the Lord like these servants do and say, Lord, what are we going to do about these weeds? Help us out with this evil. Help us out with this sin. We go to the master because we are worried about the weeds, just like the servants do in the parable. And what does the master say? And this is the second absurdity about this parable. The master blames it on an enemy. Oh, there are weeds in my field? Well, obviously, some enemy must have gotten up in the middle of the night and sowed those weeds. Sorry, John. All these parables are about farming. I have to bring you in. Can you imagine standing with John Bobeck and looking out at his fields and saying to John, hey, there's some weeds out there. And John saying to you, like, oh, that neighbor of mine, he hates me so much. He must have done that. And you're going to look at him, right? Like, really? Really, John? You think that your neighbor hates you so much that he got up in the middle of the night and planted weeds in your field? I mean, that's ridiculous. And yet, that is what happened. It's absurd in an earthly setting, and yet it's exactly what happens in the parable. Satan does hate the Lord that much. And Satan and the world do hate us that much. Notice that the enemy here gets nothing out of this. You know, he's not planting or harvesting the wheat for himself. He's not making any money. He gains nothing. He just hates the Lord so much that he has to destroy his work. And of course, you see that happening all around us in our society. There was a news article, or there was a news, I was listening to this last week about a homosexual man, a very, very wealthy homosexual man who is purposely using his wealth to target and destroy anyone who doesn't agree with that lifestyle. And you've heard stories about this. I'm sure you've heard stories about this before where a baker, you know, is being brought to court because he didn't want to participate in a homosexual wedding. And it wasn't that he wouldn't sell them a cake. He said, you know, okay, there's cakes there. If you want to buy one, buy one. But he didn't want to become a part of their wedding. He didn't want to make a special cake and bring it to the wedding and be there to cut it and be a part of that wedding that he disagreed with. And because he didn't want to celebrate it with them and become a part of it, the LGBTQ community is trying to destroy him. Can you imagine if we went out and found somebody who completely disagreed with everything we believe in, like Bill Nye, for example, and told him, if you don't come and sing and worship with us in church, then you are a bigot and we are going to take you to court. I mean, it's absurd. Unfortunately, Christian communities have done that in the past, which is just another reminder of what Jesus says in this parable, that even the church is filled with weeds. That those who love Jesus in their heart aren't going to act that way. We're going to show love even towards those who disagree with us. But within the church, there are many who are a part of the earthly organization, but don't love Jesus in their heart. Yes, the world hates the Lord, and it hates his kingdom, and it hates us to the point of irrationality, to absurdity, to the point where Satan will go and sow weeds in the Lord's kingdom. And in the midst of this anger that's directed toward us, and directed first towards the Lord, only secondarily towards us, in the midst of this anger, the Lord responds with love. Remember, I told you that the parable of the sheep, the 99 and the one. The one is lost, and the Lord leaves the 99 to go find the one. That has its parallel in this parable, although we might not see it at first. And that's right here. What happens next? Because when the workers come to the master and say to him, there are weeds, what should we do? Let's go pull them up, which is a perfectly normal response. That's the rational response. You got weeds in your farm, you got weeds in your field, in your garden, you go pull them up. That's what you do. But the master says, no. Leave them alone. Every farmer in the world will tell you, you're going to get a better crop if you remove the weeds. But our Lord leaves them. And the difference between the earthly farmer and our Lord, the heavenly farmer, the difference here is that whereas the earthly farmer is concerned about the final harvest, the quantity he can get from his field, the Heavenly Father is concerned about each individual plant. It would be much harder to remove the weeds from your garden and from your field if you are showing loving concern for every single plant, rather than just looking at the final total. From that aspect, it makes sense. The Lord is concerned, and His goal is the individual. Such is God's love for me, the sinner. Such is God's grace, that He does leave the 99 in danger for the sake of seeking out the one who is lost. That He tells the workers, don't weed the field for the sake of the one or two plants that might be pulled up by mistake. This is the grace of our God. It's absurd by human standards, but it's the love of God. And from this absurd decision by the Master, by the Lord, from this absurdity, what do we learn? We learn that the reason that there is sin and evil in the earth is because God loves me. What? What? That doesn't make any sense. Again, it doesn't make any sense. If God loves me, He won't let me suffer. If God loves me, He'll remove the evil from my life. That's the way humans think. The reason my daughter spent the last year in the hospital is because the Lord loves me. The reason my mother died is because the Lord loves me? Yes. That's what this parable is teaching us. The Lord reveals to us in a parable a mystery of God that has remained hidden from the foundation of the world. That's what we are told in the Old Testament. Psalm 78:2. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things. Things that have been hidden from of old. Remember the story of Job? And the entire book of Job is concerned with this one question. Why is there pain and suffering in this world? And the Lord doesn't answer. You go through that whole book and all the tribulations and troubles of Job and all of his discussions with his friends, and then the Lord comes to him in person. And at the end of it, the Lord doesn't give him an answer. He simply says, I am the Lord. I know what I'm doing. But here, He gives us an answer to that question. Because of my grace, there is pain and suffering, evil. Because in my love, I want to save every single one of you. Therefore, I allow evil, I allow the weeds to remain. For now, the grace of God waits patiently. And because of that patient grace of God, we suffer. But that's not the end of the parable. The end of the parable is the day of judgment. The Lord does remove the weeds and throw them into the fire. And we, those who put their trust in Jesus, will shine like the sun. And so Paul reminds us in our epistle reading from Romans, the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will follow. For now, we suffer surrounded by weeds because of God's grace. But in the end, that grace will deliver us and bring us into His heavenly kingdom. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.